Montgomery
and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. Israeli first responders say more than 100 bodies were recovered from a small farming community, which was the scene of a hostage standoff during Hamas's attack against Israel. They're among the 900 Israelis confirmed dead so far. Some Republicans say the Biden administration's decision to unfreeze $6 billion in Iranian oil revenue was a mistake, suggesting it could be funneled to Hamas. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
They said they had provisions to refreeze the money. If Iran has done something wrong, they should freeze the money back today.
The administration denies that's happening. McCarthy now says he won't rule out seeking the speakership again to guide the House through the conflict. The vacant House Speaker's position limits how the government responds to the Middle East crisis. The House Republican Conference is meeting today to decide on a candidate for Speaker of the House. They're expected to vote on a new speaker later this week. This is ABC News. For the fourth time this year, Texas lawmakers returned to the state capitol in Austin for a special session, this time to address school funding.
For several years, Governor Greg Abbott has been advocating a plan to let parents use state funds to pay for private education. He calls it school choice and acknowledges that it's largely political.
Our children are being taught a radical, woke agenda.
Public educators like Bruce Gearing say they don't mind school choice.
What I do mind is using public taxpayer dollars to fund that choice.
Gearing joined a rally outside the governor's mansion on Sunday, hours before the third special session is gaveled to order. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
A securities filing reveals MGM Resorts lost $100 million in earnings after a cyber attack. The company revealed hackers obtained guests' personal data, including some social security and passport numbers. Occupancy at its Las Vegas area resorts fell 6%, the company's CEO told customers late last week. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents with disabilities may be able to get full tuition paid by the state if they choose to pursue high-demand careers. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation has received additional grant funding that removes the spending cap for people pursuing jobs in healthcare, IT, manufacturing, or construction. The program launched in 2021 with $14 million in federal funding, enrolling 500 people in 5 years, and can open another 300 spots with the additional $6.4 million of federal funding. Newly elected Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz has declined to recuse herself from a case that seeks to challenge the Republican-drawn legislative maps. Justice Protasiewicz is currently facing the threat of impeachment from State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a threat that was levied before she even heard a single case. The court agreed to hear one of the two redistricting challenges and dismiss the other, deciding 4-3 along party lines. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25. 5 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
located off Victorian Grand in St. Paul, or at cafelatte.com. Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today, Matt and Patrick here. Michael Broadcorp comes by here in the 4 o'clock hour. But, of course, it is my privilege, my pleasure to welcome on from the Blue Amp YouTube channel, our good friend from the great state of Ohio, Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today to talk about various things, including we're going to start with baseball because I think we've converted Cliff into a Twins fan at this point after yesterday's game. Cliff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, first of all, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I was a long ago convert. I like the Twins, and good team, fun team, and you know, like, I hate most of the other teams in there, so that helps too. It comes down to, I like two teams, you guys and the Phillies. I would be happy with either the Phillies or the Twins. Those are my two teams I am rooting for to go to the World Series, and then would be happy with either of them winning. And as long as the cheating Astros lose, I am happy. Oh, that was just so much fun seeing Correa go back in and do it to his old team, and it warmed my heart.
You know, it's nice to talk to you because obviously this town is just all Twins all the time right now. So it's nice to talk to someone who's a baseball fan out of the cities here. Lopez yesterday, how good was he?
I mean, what do you say?
Yeah,
I mean there was a whole lot of unhittable mixed in there.
Yeah,
I mean there, you know, like it was. I mean, that was, you know, look, it's always tough to give away someone like Arias, who's, you know, a great contact hitter and you know, obviously, you know, batting title and the rest, but like, clearly you guys needed another frontline pitcher and oh boy, did you get one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he played well. And then also your thoughts on what could possibly be if his health holds out. I mean, he's already had some ACL problems, but Royce Lewis looks like, I mean, he looks like the poster child for the MLB. You know, it's one of those guys you see coming up and you're saying, you know, this guy, if he stays healthy, could end up being the next big superstar of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I always feel like there's like a half dozen, you know, or so of those guys every year. I feel like, you know, here in Cincinnati, we had Ellie De La Cruz, who just had flashes of absolute brilliance.
Indeed.
And a smile that lights up a city, right? But, you know, I can see a couple of those guys. You know, Royce Lewis is right there with, I mean, how incredible to do that at that stage, on that stage. You know, right from the get-go, incredible. So yeah, I'd be rooting for him. I hope he's okay. He'd be a lot of fun to watch dominate for a decade and a half or so.
You are a Yankees fan. Can I ask you what the heck's up with the Baltimore Orioles? I mean, this was a team that didn't look like it was going to lose a game at all in the playoffs, and now they are on the ropes. They are one loss away from being out of the playoffs completely because the Rangers have dominated them for two games. What's going on with the Orioles?
That's what you get for taking both the Minnesota Twins and New York Yankees cast off Aaron Hicks, you know?
Mm.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm kidding. actually, Hicks seems like he's playing. Hicks seems like he's having a little bit of a rebirth since he left us. I mean, you know how this stuff goes. It's so strange, right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget, you know, I'm just old enough to remember the 96 Yankees. Way back then, where, you know, we lost the first two games at home to the Braves, and people were like, the 27 Yankees couldn't even beat these guys. You know, like in Atlanta, that's what and then we won four in a row, and the Yankees won the first of those World Series because we just got hot and had some key players that came up big, and you never know, right? And look, right now, on paper, it should be the Orioles. But, like, you know, as they always say, we don't play the games on paper, and Texas has got some great players. So, I don't know, very strange. I would have thought, I thought the Orioles would have gone, and they're not done yet, but I wouldn't have thought that we would have seen what we saw the last two games. So,
well, it's a long series. You still got to get through Houston. Then you're looking at either Baltimore or Texas, and then you're looking at whoever comes out of the National League. So it is. I mean, October is a long month, and you got a lot of games to go. But I can't tell you how this city which has been since the 91 series. And don't get me wrong, we have the Lynx, and they won a few WNBA championships, and the Gopher hockey team, I mean, hockey is king up in Minnesota here, and they won a few college hockey titles. But, you know, the reality is this is one of the big sports. You know, the fact that we got a team in the playoffs, they got the win yesterday. I'll tell you what, if they would have lost yesterday after the Vikings lost, I got to tell you, this town would not be a happy place today. But right now, they're pepping this up.
There was another team of yours, I'll say quickly, I was pulling hard for because I can't stand Kansas City either. So, damn it, I was hoping that the Vikings would pull that one out. But, you know, they don't look as good this year, Kansas City. They keep sort of barely winning.
All right.
So I'm hoping that means that maybe they're about to fall. That's my hope.
If the Twins keep going, I'm going to have you on speed dial through the rest of October. The Twins keep going here. I want you in because you and I both know baseball pretty well and are big fans, and so I might just have you on for a baseball day at some point here.
I'll just come on. I'll be the new Twins analyst on your on your show.
Right.
I'd love to, man. You know I love to talk baseball. The other stuff that we have to talk about now is very necessary to talk about, yet a little bit more depressing.
Yeah, and let's get into this. First of all, this attack by Hamas is just it's disturbing. It's despicable. It is ugly. I mean, just at the one at the music festival, they killed 260 people there. I mean, it's to a point. I'm of the mindset is how this is Hamas. I mean, how did they get the tactical advantage to be able to do a strike like this?
Well, I mean, it seems to me that first of all, as we know, the problem with right-wing governments is they're right-wing governments. They think they know everything. They're ideologues by nature, so they can never be wrong. And they do lots of stupid things. I would say to you, think George W. Bush in Iraq after we were attacked by Al-Qaeda. And so, it seems like that they're such extremists and they so wanted to push Israeli settlements out into the West Bank and all these, and other, places up north, that they had a lot of their troops and everybody up north. And they'd been told, Netanyahu and his crew of criminals had been told by the IDF and others, we are susceptible to an attack from the south. Clearly, Iran saw this. Iran worked with them, apparently, which makes me think we could see Iran getting bombed soon. And I'm not saying I'm hoping for that, but if they were involved, you can expect that Israel will do that. And the thing is, so they left the South susceptible to all of this. And they, I don't know what their intelligence has been doing, but by God, it's up there with 9/11 in terms of the kind of intelligence failure. But it doesn't change the fact that whatever Netanyahu's government, what they've done to Gazan civilians, which I condemn all this time and say is disgusting, this right-wing Israeli government, it doesn't, when I see these people try to say, well, Israel deserved it. Civilians never deserve it. And there's nothing that gets me angrier than that. When I see people say stuff like that in the United States, I'm like, well, then I guess when Trump was our president, you should have been massacred. Mm-hmm. Because we had a right-wing lunatic. Civilians never deserve to be raped, to have their kids murdered in front of them, to be kidnapped. These barbarians did, Hamas in the South, I hope every single damn one of them, I'd say worse things if we weren't if I wouldn't get you fined, will be wiped from this earth.
What?
Because they're not human, they're scum. And it's the same thing for the Azerbaijanis who've done the same to Armenian civilians. It's the same with the Russians who've done the same thing to civilians in Ukraine. It's like we're again stuck in this place where the old pre-World War II order of authoritarianism and eugenics and hatred, tribal hatred, is trying to sort of throw out the post-World War II order of the world, trying to head towards democracy and working together. It's fighting back. And, I mean, we're going to have to stop all of these guys because they're all allies. And by the way, maybe Donald Trump shouldn't have shared Israeli secrets with Lavrov and Sisolak in the Oval Office. Maybe Donald Trump shouldn't have tweeted out a classified image that we had of an Iranian rocket site. Maybe Donald Trump should have left his boxes and boxes of stuff, including stuff on Israel and Iran, in his crapper for anybody to go and get a hold of. I have to believe with his big mouth and the way he stored secrets, sold them, done God knows, I don't know that for a fact, but would you put it past him?
Well, and if I can...
Who knows?
if I can jump in there, just one of the things that people pointed out is that clearly Iranians helped Hamas here, but it's a one-person citizen. Like, the Iranians didn't have the technical capabilities to understand how to neutralize the Iron Dome. That came from probably the Russians, who are close allies of the Iranians. Well, where did the Russians get it? Well, and that's pretty much, you know, that's what you're looking at. A lot of people are thinking that there's a high likelihood that the Russians might have gotten this from someone who, I don't know, was trying to be best buddies with Vladimir Putin.
Well, we know of one, you know, look, we know how he stored classified secrets. He's been indicted for it.
Yes.
Right? We know that recently he's telling some Australian billionaire about the capabilities of our nuclear submarines, how close they could get to Russian submarines without the Russians knowing. We know that even when he was first elected, he was holding up, you know, in these parties in Mar-a-Lago, you know, all sorts of sensitive documents to try to impress his dinner guests. And, you know, worst of all, of course, we know for a fact that an Israeli op inside of ISIS ended up being completely undermined by him to the point where he shared enough with Lavrov and Sisleak, and they were worried enough, the Israelis were, that they pulled their guy who was deeply embedded in ISIS out. So if we know he did it that time, and we know all the other ways he handled classified info, and we know he's a complete loser scumbag who sold anything for anything, you know, anything for that he can in his life, right? He's hawked anything like some low-grade huckster. Does anybody think he wouldn't sell this stuff? This was always the worry when he was president, is that these secrets have value. And I'm sorry, I don't know. Again, I don't know. What I do know is there's a whole lot of smoke there, if there isn't fire. And, I mean, just amazing to see every one of these right-wing chuckleheads, the same ones who, of course, attacked our Capitol and tried to pull off murdering Pence and Pelosi and all, are the ones screaming and yelling about how somehow it's Biden's fault. Because apparently it's really difficult for these stupid people to understand that when you put $6 billion in a Qatari bank, for humanitarian needs like food, and you actually monitor it, and you know that none of it's been spent yet, it can't be spent on terrorists.
Exactly, and they're trying to make this argument. Well, that money frees up other money. It's like, okay, then you don't understand what this money was for, because there was no money for this in the past. I mean, it was designated for humanitarian aid, and red flag.
What is it free up? Iran is the whole reason the money was there for humanitarian aid is because Iran isn't giving their own people humanitarian aid.
Exactly.
Do we think Iran is suddenly like, oh, well, now they're giving us $6 billion to feed and take care of all the people we obviously care about and we're going to take care of. Now we can use that money on Hamas. And it's the stupidest argument in the world. It's a brutal dictatorship, obviously, who doesn't take care of its own people and doesn't care if they starve, doesn't care if they have health care. No $6 billion was being put somewhere, so they're like, oh, well, now we can use the money differently. That's just stupid. But the right wing is stupid, as the right wing is stupid, you know, in with Hamas, as the right wing is stupid with Putin, as the right wing is stupid with Erdogan and Aliyev and this whole, you know, rogues gallery of dictators and murderers who are all pals.
Well, and it should be noticed. Did you see the video from this weekend of apparently the Iranian government tried to unfurl a Palestinian flag at an Iranian soccer match, and the fans didn't want anything to do with it? And I thought this is a really interesting point, because they clearly, there's a lot of people in Iran who don't want anything to do with Palestine or Hamas, that a lot of this is coming from the Iranian government. But to see such an openly hostile take to the Iranian stance towards the Palestinians, you know, there's nothing is ever black and white, cut and dry. It's just not. And I think we have to understand that there are people that are working in all these countries to basically attack Israel, basically try to undermine, as you said, trying to turn back the time to a pre-World War II mentality. But it's like I said, it's kind of one of those things where this is just a very complicated thing. And, you know, it's this idea of we'll just go bomb Iran. He's like, what are you guys talking about at this point?
Right. Listen, I promise you my sympathy for Gaza and civilians, which is the same as it is for any other civilians around the world who are attacked and murdered, is far, far deeper than that in Iran, where the people, and again, I'm not talking about regular people in Iran, because again, as you said, that soccer game, that was great. They've made it clear they don't want these brutal dictators speaking for them. They don't want that. And so, God, let's not murder innocent Iranians any more than innocent anybody else. But when they try to hide behind this and pretend the Palestinian cause is theirs, none of these guys care. None of these guys have put – they've got all oil money. They've never put any of it into taking care of the Palestinians. They've never done a damn thing. It is a simple demagogic issue that they use so that they can go and attack Israel. That is what it is about, or attack America, or attack the West in general. They couldn't give two damns about the Palestinians. So, you know, that's the thing. Don't make that mistake, okay? Netanyahu is a horrible person. The people around him are horrible people. They're war criminals themselves. And when they attack civilians, I speak out against them. What Hamas did was atrocious, was evil, and the government of Iran supported it, and they're the ones who should pay the damn price for it, not the people of Iran.
You talked about stupid. Let's talk about the House GOP, because, I mean, as we can talk about the collapse of the McCarthy speakership last week, the fact that they don't have – they're a rudderless ship right now in the U.S. House, Tommy Tuberville holding up military aid. Because, I mean, once again, I have no problem with the U.S. military going in there and helping out Israel as trying to beat back Hamas at this point after considering over a thousand people are dead at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the case. But we clearly, because of Republicans, we are in a weakened position. They cannot pass any kind of aid or help to Israel right now. The military has been compromised by Tuberville and his social issues crusade. Let's talk a little bit about this, because this has really kind of screwed things up. We can't function nearly as well as we usually do because of Republican ineptitude.
Yeah, and every other one of them should be held responsible, because they can put a stop to this. So when Ted Cruz is running for re-election in Texas and Rick Scott in Florida, just to think of two places where there are large Jewish populations, you know, people should be reminded every day that Tommy Tuberville enabled the mass murder of Jews. Because in the end, he's made it so that we can't do anything. Our military can't operate as they need to right now. He's still blocking this thing, and one wonders at any point whether he's blocking it out of the fact that he's the stupidest man alive, or just for the fact that maybe he's compromised, because so many of the Republicans are. Then Rand Paul, in almost side-by-side tag team, won't let us put diplomats in key positions, has been blocking that. We have no ambassador to Israel because of Rand Paul. And Rand Paul's a guy that John McCain, the late John McCain, once called the senator from the Kremlin on the floor, an errand boy who ran a message from Trump to the Russians, among so many other connections to the Russians. I mean, if he's not compromised, seriously, I would bet anything that I own on the fact that he's compromised. Mm. I mean, his nephew-in-law, the one Jesse Benton, was the one who was put in prison, who was his former campaign manager and chief of staff, married Ron Paul's granddaughter, you know, was the one who was funneling Russian money to Donald Trump in 2016 and went to prison for, what, 11 or 12 years because of it? I mean, and he's blocking our diplomats. So we don't have the military in place. We don't have the diplomats in place. And we don't have a functioning house. The only person who could get briefings on what's going on, classified briefings, was Hakeem Jeffries, because there's no Republican leader who's on the level where they can. So I'd say that if there's any sane Republicans left, either vote for Hakeem Jeffries for Speaker, or get together with us and have one of your few, I know there's very few of them, semi-sane people become Speaker, so we can actually function as a country and a democracy.
Well, and you bring that up. I mean, the two leaders right now for the new speakership are two far-right people. You got Jim Jordan, who is by far an extreme far-right. I mean, the only reason he's not part of that MAGA crowd is he realizes he has aspirations to try to be the speaker or in leadership, and he can't have that, you know, necessarily. And then you have Steve Scalise, who basically himself is also an extreme far-right candidate. You know, and which, once again, either one of these guys is going to stymie up the works and prevent things from getting done. You know, Jim Jordan seems to be the choice of Trump, as well as multiple other people. You, of course, have extensive knowledge of Jim Jordan from Ohio. He is truly a horrible, horrible human being.
I mean, honestly, when you rate sort of any rating of the most despicable, useless piles of human flesh, would include Jim Jordan. He's a useless, if he were to disappear from, and I'm not advocating violence, to be clear, but he has left nothing but carnage in his wake. He is an idiot. He ignored sexual assault in the cases of the thousands while he was at Ohio State. This isn't me talking, by the way. This is a referee, a former coach who worked alongside him, and at least half a dozen wrestlers who claimed he absolutely knew what was going on. He's human scum, and he was involved in planning and supporting the insurrection on January 6th for which he hasn't been held to account, among many other things. And then you get Steve Scalise, the guy who 20 years ago was going to white nationalist conferences referring to himself as, quote, David Duke without the baggage, unquote. Who, you know, that in the Republican Party is what serves as the more moderate choice, who also supported the insurrection. Is also, I mean, these two characters, neither of them are fit, honestly, to be in government. They're not fit to clean toilets, all right? They're certainly not fit to be people that run the House. So, please, I mean, if any of these Republicans, any of them, are genuine, who claim to be more center-right than non-MAGA group of them, the 20 to 30 of them, then they'll show it. And they'll show they care more about this country than they do about selfish aspirations and their stupid cult of a party. And they'll get together with Democrats, and even if it's one of them, they'll elect somebody that chooses to actually govern.
Tuberville. This is actually now a big problem because now the military's weakness has been exposed because we don't have our leadership positions filled. This is Tommy Tuberville because, once again, he doesn't want to have the military people to have the rights to be able to choose whether or not they have an abortion. He wants it to be illegal in all military bases, and until that happens, he's not going to do anything here. I'm at the point where we start thinking about pulling all the military bases out of Alabama, which will cost them, you know, probably a million jobs. But at the same time, I say we pull all the military bases out of Alabama. I mean, if he's not going to be on the side of the military, well, then the military shouldn't be on the side of his state. And I have a feeling that would wake him up to the reality that maybe he shouldn't be picking this fight.
Well, I mean, again, and this is the only area where I'd say, you know, Democrats have gotten better and better, but we still fail when it comes to these people that do things that are just unimaginable. You know what I mean? We still don't seem to be able to grasp when they behave like that, that the only thing people like that understand is a metaphorical punch in the face, because that's the only thing bullies ever understand. And I saw where Biden in the past, it maybe was because of that, chose to not put new military bases in Alabama. He chose somewhere else instead, I don't remember, and that just set Tuberville off. So you're right. Want to set him off more? Pull the ones there that are out. I mean, there are levers we can pull. If we really want, I mean, again, this is extreme type reactions, but we're in an extreme situation here. He is massively harming our national security. He's putting our allies' lives at risk, probably getting people killed, literally. I mean, again, if the Republicans won't you know, stand up and have the slightest ounce of courage and deal with him themselves, then we should deal with him every way we can.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If that means we have to pull bases out. If there's other levers of power, use those against them. Whatever the hell you can do, do it.
If you would like more on this, and obviously I'm presuming you're going to have a lot of content coming out this week on the YouTube channel, correct?
Absolutely. We have a video that probably in a half hour comes out. That's going to an interview with a reporter who lives in Israel, is on the ground, and we talk about some of these things from the evil of Hamas to the evil of MAGA republicanism and more. So, and many more like that will be coming.
All right. It's the Blue Amp Channel with Cliff Schechter at C. Schechter. At C. Schechter. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. Subscribe there. He's got 20. Let's get him up to 30,000 subscribers. He's at 28.7 right now.
We're getting close. Yeah, come on. Join us.
You should. You'll be smarter for doing this. It is good stuff from Cliff and the crew. So Blue Amp Channel with Cliff Schechter at C. Schechter on YouTube. I'll link to that all later on. Cliff, obviously, we'll stay in touch, and hopefully things